Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon. It's PJ Tour Week. Kapalua is here. Starts Thursday evening. Excited about it. If you haven't checked out the Clubhouse newsletter, I put all the TV times and such at the bottom on the Wednesday edition. So make sure you sign up for that. You can jump on my Twitter page at Shane Bacon and sign up for the Clubhouse newsletter. It's going to hit your inboxes Mondays and Wednesdays. So a good way to keep up with golf as we get the season going. And speaking of getting the season going, Kyle Porter from CBS is joining me to preview the 2017 PGA Tour season. Kyle wrote 10 predictions on CBS.com. I wrote 10 predictions on FoxSports.com. We kind of compared and contrasted our ideas. We had a couple fairly similar, mostly on Tiger and the President's Cup. But a fun conversation just getting going. We're back into it, and I figured it'd be a perfect time to just chat about some stuff that we hope to see, we think we'll see, and all that good stuff. Love everybody subscribing to the podcast. Hope you're really enjoying it. Excited to have a second one this week. We have another one next week with a Player of the Year from 2016, so make sure you stick around and check that out. But here we go. Kyle Porter from CBS here on the Clubhouse. And we now welcome into the Clubhouse for the first time, which seems really crazy considering how much he's involved in the game of golf and how good of a guy he is, Kyle Porter of CBS. You can follow him at Kyle Porter CBS. He's a great, great, great golf writer. An even better dude. He runs the Ion Golf blog, but really more the CBS golf side of things online. Really anything you read for them is done by Kyle Porter. Kyle, I appreciate you taking some time to kind of preview the 2017 season.
Absolutely, Shane. You set the table for me at CBS. You were the last golf writer that they had before I got there, which was, it feels like 15 years ago. but yeah, following up Bryson DeChambeau. I don't know if this is the very next one, but it's tough to follow up the work of a genius. So I'll do my best.
Well, in your golf game, I know you do just love the tinker when you're out there playing. So I know it is very similar in that sense. You're always bringing out the different things and such, but. Yeah, you know, Bryson was he's an interesting character because, you know, when he talks about some of this stuff, of course, I mean, if you haven't listened to the podcast, it's definitely worth it just because he has a very different character. But, you know, when he talks about it, while you're listening to him talk about it, I started to agree with him. I kind of was going, man, this face putting, this makes total sense. And then, you know, when you get done, maybe it's not exactly for me or for you. But, hey, listen, if he believes it, that's all that really matters. And, of course, he'll be part of, you know, 2017, it'll be interesting to see what he does. He had a couple of really good tournaments, but of course struggled a little bit as well. But you wrote a 10 predictions for 2017 on CBS. If you haven't checked it out, I'll send it out on Twitter. I'll also send it out on the Clubhouse Pod Twitter account as well. 10 predictions. I just wanted to go over three of your predictions, and then I did 10 predictions myself at FoxSports.com. So first things first, I was going to bring up, we both predicted a winner at Augusta. You predicted somebody that's played incredible golf lately. I predicted a guy that has actually won three times at the Masters. So that was the first one I was going to bring up. Of course, you know, the Masters is a long time from now, but it is really the first thing that comes to mind when you change that calendar. You have Rory McIlroy as your Masters champion. And I do find it interesting because I picked somebody else, and I do sense a little bit of people looking at Rory into 2017, a lot like we looked at him going into 2015, you know, coming off the two major wins, playing incredible golf late in the season. And I was just going to ask, do you feel like sometimes we put too much credit on the way guys finish a season, considering how long the layoff is headed into not just the PGA Tour season, but the major season that doesn't start till April?
Well, before we talk about that, I'm going to go back to what you said about tinkering on the course. I got a quick story for everybody. We played together the day after the Masters, was it last year?
Yeah, that's right. That was at a Champions Retreat.
Yeah, in near Augusta, and we're playing. It was like the seventh hole or something, and I hit a drive, hit a pretty good drive on this hole, and you know, we're out there having fun, hanging out with a couple of friends, and you looked over at me, and I love it when you do this. I think it's so funny because you're kind of messing with me, but you're kind of serious, and you said, "Hey, you pretty locked in right now? You feeling pretty good?" and I said, I was super serious. I was like, "Oh, I'm feeling great." You know, I had like 80 yards into this par four, and there's a little creek running in the front, and I don't know if it even got there, but it ended up there. and I looked over at you and I said, that was the Spieth.
Laid the sod over. You were dedicating that swing to Jordan Spieth as I look at my two Jordan Spieth bobbleheads. Right, yes. In front of me. I mean, and we'll be doing that again this year, a great way to kind of cap off the Masters. But yeah, I mean, you know, you look at Augusta, and it is on the horizon, which is crazy to think. I mean, I think the countdown is something like 92 days, and yeah. You think about guys, and I mean, of course, Rory has to be on your list. I just wonder if, again, much like 15, if we look at this and say he played so great, you know, now even 3 months ago, is that going to carry over from basically 7 months until you tee off at Augusta?
It is really weird because you look at the Masters and you're like, oh, it's the first major of the year. But it's like you said, it's so far away. There's a shorter distance between, I think, the Masters and the PGA Championship than there is between the beginning of the year and the Masters. And so we think of, you know, it's a lot of time has elapsed, not a lot of tournaments because you don't, you know, guys don't play a ton in January and February. But I just think that above everything else for somebody like Spieth, it's just that he plays well at Augusta. Like, I don't know if it matters when it is. I think he could go out there with, you know, Bill Gates or whoever's a member out there in the middle of November and just play great just because he just loves that place. So I think that's more of it than how guys are actually playing going. And we saw that last year with Lee Westwood. Lee Westwood had been playing not very well over the last few years, and he finishes tied for second at Augusta. Some guys just, I don't know, they just play great there no matter how they're playing overall.
Well, it really is like the Masters is as close to a regular PGA Tour event, if you will, because it's played at the same place, and guys are going to be comfortable there. Of course, Jordan Spieth, you know, going second, first, second. You know, Phil Mickelson playing really well there. Phil Mickelson's my pick in my predictions to win the Masters. Of course, missing the cut last year, his worst score ever was on Friday. But, you know, it does seem like a place. You know, you look at guys like Zach Johnson or Steve Stricker at the John Deere, and they play so well at that event every year. Tiger famously at Firestone and, you know, playing Doral and all these places that he really had a ton of success at, really just felt like that golf course fit his eye. And you look at Rory, and you mentioned it, three top tens his last three times at the Masters. The one thing that I do find interesting about that stat is I was going back over it in 14, 15, 16, really, it was really a final round that jumped him up into those top 10 standings. He wasn't exactly in the event through 54 holes, much like he was, of course, back in 2011 when he kind of blew up on Sunday. But I'd be interested, and I'm hoping that we see a Rory McIlroy that is in those final two groups. Of course, last year we saw it with Jordan Spieth on Saturday, and he didn't make a birdie, and then, of course, fell down and then jumped back into the top 10 thanks to a final round 71. But, you know, it is interesting. Rory's put himself in the position a few times at the Masters, and you're still waiting for him to kind of close it out, which is something, you know, we're used to seeing with Rory almost everywhere else.
Yeah, it is weird. And if you look at, I can't remember, last year was weird because of the scoring was so much higher than we normally see at a Masters. But if you look at the, I don't know, three or four Masters before that, Rory has always had this nine-hole stretch at Augusta where he shoots a 39 or a 42 or just something just horrendous. And he sort of takes himself out of it before he really gets an opportunity. Last year was an odd tournament, I think, for him, just because he's not Tiger-like in terms of, like, you know, scratching and clawing and trying to maintain. I don't think he's built to win U.S. Opens. I think he would tell you that. And so it was a weird tournament in how it played out, how the winning score was close to par, and it never really felt like his tournament. And he hasn't really had one like that since, like you said, I guess it was back in 2011 when he shot the 80. So I think for him, it's all about, you know, can he shoot a 65 on Thursday or Friday and really kind of take hold of the Masters, of that tournament, and then hold on for the weekend? Because that's been the formula that he's used for each of his four major championship wins.
Yeah, and if you think about, you mentioned 2016 at the Masters, and you think about the quote-unquote big three, you know, you mentioned it, you know, Rory played, I mean, poor golf on Saturday. I mean, I think he would say that, not making a birdie, playing alongside Spieth. Of course, Spieth has that run, you know, on 11 and 12 where he basically shoots himself out of the event on Sunday. But, you know, you forget Jason Day on Thursdays rolling through the front nine, and he'd been playing great golf, and he was everybody's pick, and everybody was expecting Jason Day to have a great championship at the Masters. And the back nine, he played awful and was never really much of a factor after that. It did seem like the big three let a little, you know, momentum go at the Masters and at Augusta. And it just almost reminds you that Augusta, as beautiful as it is a golf course that, you know, if your concentration goes for a minute or two, you're done. I mean, there's just some certain holes out there that can do it to you.
Yeah, it's totally true. And it's still so strange to me that Danny Willett won the Masters last year. Like, it felt like that at the time. And he's a great player. I mean, we've seen it on the European Tour, and he didn't play great after winning it last year. But it was an odd tournament. It felt like the tournament, I mean, it did just felt like Spieth won it, but he didn't. And so that was really strange. You have Phil winning. He's going to be what, 46, 47 when the Masters is here next year?
47 in June. So he'll be 46, okay. Which of course the famous age that our main man, Jack Nicklaus, was able to kind of conquer Augusta, but I mean, definitely a different time and a different field they're playing against.
How deep into Phil's career do you think, cause I think you've talked about this before, but how deep into Phil's career do you think he's going to have a real chance at winning Augusta?
I've said, I think he could compete if he's healthy through 55 years old, just because I think he's long enough to where the length isn't going to get him. He's much like Fred Couples, who was able to compete. Plus, you know, he's got a way better short game than somebody like Fred Couples and loves the place. And I think last year threw us off a little bit to Phil at the Masters. But, you know, when you look at his career there, I mean, I wrote this in my piece on Fox Sports. He has as many missed cuts at the Masters as he does wins. I mean, he doesn't really play poorly there much. So I almost chalk up Friday to just, you know, it was a bad round in a year where Phil played consistently great golf and he just wasn't able to get that victory.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I disagree with this one because I picked Rory, but it's going to be so hard, I think, as these guys. My thing with Phil is like, and he, I mean, obviously he's played great the last few years, played great at the, could have won the 2015 Masters if not for Justin Rose and Jordan Spieth. Obviously could have won the Open last year, but he hasn't won since 2013, you know? And I think that you're right. I do agree that there's one last like, Jack type run in Phil at Augusta. I just don't know if it's going to result in a win just because of how many great guys there are right now. It's just, I mean, and we'll talk about this probably more later on, but it's so hard to win majors, right? And people discount that. And I don't know. I'm in on Phil playing well at Augusta. I just don't think he's going to get. I don't think he's going to get another win next year.
I mean, do you think you could see him winning another Masters and winning another major championship before he retires or before he moves on?
Yeah, I think if he wins one, it will be the Masters. But I don't think he's going to do it. I think he's going to get close. I think he'll have like a, I don't know, like a second place finish at age 49, to Bo Hostler or something like that. But I don't think he'll win another major championship in his career.
Well, sticking to majors, another prediction you had, which you know it's something I'm going to be in on the moment you write it, and me and Adam Sarson probably high-fiving each other when it comes up. Sergio Garcia wins one of the two Opens. I think we've predicted Sergio wins one of the Opens the last 5 or 6 years, and when you look at his career record at major championships, it does make a lot of sense. I got a chance to play Erin Hills late last year. It's a place where you want to get the ball in play. Sergio has always been a great driver of the golf ball. You look at Royal Birkdale, of course, he's had so much success at the Open Championship, interesting enough, and didn't play well in 08 at the one back at Birkdale that Padraig won. I think he finished tied for 51st. I just wonder, I know we want to see it. You and I want to see it. Fans want to see it. We've always wanted to see Sergio Garcia in there. And I just want to know, do you really truly believe that Sergio has the mental capability to go Thursday to Sunday night and not have a little Sergio moment for two or three holes?
Well, no, I don't. But I also don't know. Like, and here's the thing: like, he has to have a tournament where that doesn't matter, right? Like, and what I mean by that is where there's not a Henrik Stenson shooting 20 under, or like he has to be good enough the rest of the time, because you know it's going to happen. We saw it at even the Open in 14 when Rory won. Sergio was in that until like the 13th hole when he hit the two shots out of the bunker, or whatever hole that was. And so I think that will happen. He just has to not be surpassed by somebody else's, you know, by somebody else having a great week also. So I think he can win a major. I don't know if he will. I think at this point I'm sort of just writing it in hopes that he will, because I'd love to see it. I mean, the guy has 22 top 10s at major championships and he's never won. That seems, I mean, it just seems unfair that Todd Hamilton has a claret jug and Sergio Garcia doesn't, and yeah. Lee Westwood doesn't. Lee Westwood's got like 20 top 10s at majors.
And Colin Montgomery. I mean, these are guys that, you know, they were so close. I don't know if you spend any time doing this. I know you. Congratulations, by the way. I know your wife just gave birth in December, and I know you guys are really excited about it. You probably don't have as much time as somebody like me who has no kids sitting around over Christmas holiday with not a ton to do. But when they had the Tiger Marathon on, I DVR'd all the 14 majors that he won. And I've kind of watched him, you know, throughout the weeks. We put a TV in the gym room. It's been nice when you're running to throw something like that on. And the two things that stood out to me, nothing about Tiger. The two things that stood out to me about this were, one and two, Colin Montgomery and Retief Goosen, and how often they were in these majors that Tiger won. Retief Goosen, if you go look at his run from 2001 to 2006, he was in these majors really every single one except a couple. I mean, he played really well, finished tied for 13th, was some of his bad major championships. When you look at Sergio, I mean, he's just the same type of guy. He's got 10 top 10s in the British Open since 2001. And I just wonder, as you said, is he going to have to run away with it? Is he going to have to shoot, you know, 65-65 on Friday and Saturday and have that six-shot cushion? Or is he more comfortable? Because he does seem happier now than maybe we saw him in his mid-20s. He seems a little bit more content in life and where he's at. And I just wonder if there's a chance of all of that coming together at a place like Birkdale or Erin Hills and finally seeing Sergio win. Because, I mean, for golf fans, it would be as cool a story as Tiger coming back. For sports fans, it wouldn't. But I think for golf fans that have watched Sergio since he was 19, it would be as cool a thing as we could really have happen in the sport.
Well, I agree. I trust Sergio to run away with the tournament about as much as I trust, like, Tim Herron to race Usain Bolt and win. But I just – with Sergio, I think the way it's going to happen is he just – he kind of falls backwards into it. Like, he's in the third to last group and shoots like a, and I think we've all talked about this, he shoots like a 68, and I don't know, Dustin Johnson's ahead of him, Hideki Matsuyama's ahead of him, and they shoot like 73 or something, and he wins by one or wins in a playoff or something like that. I think the really interesting thing about Sergio is that I think for you and I, like, I don't need him to hoist a claret jug to validate how good his career has been, right? Like Sergio has had to me a really great career. But I think for the common fan, even maybe the common golf fan who sort of pays attention during the majors but isn't locked in throughout the year, I think he needs that major to kind of validate how good he is at golf. Or maybe him winning doesn't even validate it. Maybe he's just always going to be written off as this guy who's a choke artist, and I think that's unfair, but I think that the common sports fan would kind of lean towards that.
Yeah, and I mean, you make a good point. I mean, we talked about 2016. I mean, the way Danny Willett won at the Masters, a bogey-free 67, it was an incredibly impressive round on Sunday, but he needed help, and he got that help, and he won. And you see a lot of guys do that. Sometimes these guys win their first major getting a little bit of help, and I think that would be a very nice way for Sergio to finally do it. And I also wonder, if he did finally do it, would he win two or three like Phil did when Phil finally won that major? Could you see him winning two or three? I think a lot of people could, considering his talent and considering how he's played at all the venues. He's been really successful at all the majors, sans winning, and it's been fun to watch him. And I just think Sergio went from this guy that was really cool to kind of annoying, and now he's like really exciting again, and we all get really fired up when he plays well, because for whatever reason it's just I don't know if it conjures up old feelings and old memories of him as a teenager, but I think we just all would love to see it. All right, we did two of yours. You can throw another one at me.
One that I agree with: Tiger will not win this year. I think we both, or I won't speak for you, but I liked what I saw at the Hero World Challenge. I just liked seeing him play, honestly. But, you know, leading the field in birdies, I think is impressive with who was in that field. It wasn't, it wasn't like William McGirt playing in the field. It was Spieth and I don't even remember, Dustin Johnson, those guys. So, him playing well there is nice. I just think that he's the tournaments that his problem is going to be that the tournaments he's going to play in, everybody's going to play in, all the big guys, all the big names, all the best young players. It's just going to be hard to win one of them. You know, like maybe he wins like the Quicken Loans National because nobody's playing in it and he's the host or whatever. But I think he's, I don't think he has to win for it to be a successful year for Tiger. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with that. I mean, the problem is, I think that there's a sensibility when you follow the sport closely like we do, when you realize how hard it is to win. And I think when you watch these events week in and week out, you're reminded of that. You're reminded that, you know, Ricky Fowler can play incredible golf for 70 holes at the Waste Management, get a fairly unfair kick over a bunker, and he loses because he got one bad break late in a round. And I think that's what I see with Tiger. I don't think it's going to be sharp enough to beat these guys. There's 100 guys out there right now that are incredibly talented players, maybe 200, maybe 500. I mean, I talked to Wesley Bryan on the podcast and asked him, you know, the difference in talent between the web.com and the PGA Tour. And he goes, there's really not a lot different. I mean, it's pretty similar. So you think about all those guys coming up as well. I just, again, Tiger Woods is a figure that's been incredibly impressive and was probably the best golfer in the history of the game for a stretch of 10, 15 years. But at the end of the day, this is a numbers game, and he's going to have to go out there in these non-major events and shoot 16, 17, 18 under, and that means he can't make mistakes, and I'm just not sure if his golf game is capable of playing that well for 72 holes without a blow-up hole or two.
Yeah, I totally agree. What's the over-under for, like, if I set the over-under at, let's say, 47.5, age-wise, for Tiger to retire, are you going over or under that?
I mean, I think I go under. He's just turned 41. I just believe that if he's out there for a year, year and a half, and he just doesn't have the game to do it, I could see him kind of going Greg Norman route and saying, I don't want to ruin my pride by being out here and getting smoked. And I mean, I understand that to an extent. It's not fun finishing 30th. You know, it's not fun finishing 45th. It's not fun grinding to finish 30th. And I think that's something that Tiger might run into this year. The issue with this is that logically we say this. You know, in our hearts, we would love to see Tiger win 5 events or 10 events or win a Grand Slam this year. I mean, that would be amazing for you and I's job and our careers. But I just, you look at the birdie total at the Hero World Challenge and you go, that's really impressive. And then you look at his double bogey total and you get reminded, this was an 18-man field. He had a really good round on Friday playing alone without anybody else out there. And that was really the highlight of it. And we all pulled positives from it. Trust me, I was very, very fired up for what I saw. But he's going to be playing fields of 144 guys, and they all can win week in and week out. We saw that last year. Think of all the kind of no-name guys, the Von Taylors and such that won PGA Tour events and won, you know, really talented field PGA Tour events. And you just have to remember, those guys can beat Tiger too.
I actually do not want Tiger to win the Grand Slam this year because I have a $1 bet with my editor at 50,000 to 1 odds. Oh, so I would be asking you for a bit of a loan if he does win the Grand Slam.
Former CBS writer Kyle Porter on the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
That is amazing.
One of the ones I want to not talk about Tiger forever and talk about another one that you have that I kind of disagree with is you said Ricky Fowler is going to bounce back in 2017. And I think the part that I disagree with is not that Ricky Fowler is going to play poorly in 2017, but I would argue that he didn't really have that much to bounce back from in 2016. And I think it's sort of and this is a question that I know you and I have talked about a lot. People that are smarter than us about golf have talked about more. But what is success in this era as PGA Tour? What is a successful career? What is having a successful year look like? And I don't really know. I think it's continuing to change and continuing to evolve. And so I'm curious what you think about that.
Well, you know, my point on Ricky Fowler was he got off to a good start early in the year, and I feel like he really fell off. And to me, I think success is giving yourself chances to win. That's what I look at on tour. If you gave yourself a chance to win, because you don't have to win. I mean, Rory's not going to win every week. Jason Day's not going to win every week. These guys don't win like the VJs and the Tigers did in the early 2000s. It's just too hard. There's too much talent out there. But I think giving yourself a chance, and I also think having a good week when you don't have it, when you don't have exactly what you have. You know, Ricky's shot these huge numbers in these big events over the course of his career, and it's just kind of a red flag to me because I wonder if it's pressure, if it's nerves, is getting too up for these types of events. And listen, Ricky was as nice as a guy could be following the way he played at Oakmont. I mean, he sat down with us at Fox. He gave us an interview. It was very cool. He was the only guy to do that. But he did have a lot of those events where it was just really disappointing. He wasn't a factor in the event. That was in 16, and then you flip it over, and I mentioned this in my article. He's played really well in the wraparound season. He played well at the Hero World Challenge. He played well in China. And I feel like it is turning around. As I mentioned, I think he's just not driving the ball as well as you need to play and contend in these events, and he's just going to simply have to hit more fairways. That's why I think he plays well at certain places, like, you know, the Waste Management. You don't have to hit a lot of drivers. You don't have to hit it super straight there to have some success. I'll be interested to see if that is something he works on and has changed in the offseason.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated by his career from a standpoint of, how does he end up? Does he win a major? How many PGA Tour events does he win? And also as sort of this this standard for the other kind of young Americans to live up to. I think we all know that Spieth is beyond what Fowler is going to be. I don't think Fowler is going to win two or more majors like Spieth is. But I think that Fowler is sort of this I don't know. Like Spieth is the gold standard, but I think Fowler is like this just under that in terms of like, hey, Daniel Berger, this is a pretty good career to live up to. You know, you win multiple times on the PGA Tour, you win in Europe, you're on Ryder Cup teams. Like I think that, you know, I think that that's something to live up to, and I'm so interested to see how it evolves over the next 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, you look at 15, he had. In 2015, he had four top threes. In 2014, he had four top threes. Last year, he had one top three. I feel like there was a lot of that, not really giving yourself much of a chance to get into the hunt on Sunday, sans some early events earlier in the year. I just would like to see it. I hope we see a little bit of a bounce back, but I understand your point. It wasn't an awful year by any means. It just wasn't a year that I think progressed upwards. I don't think the scale went up for him in 2016. I think it was a flatline, if not down, from what we saw in 2015. And I'm just hoping that, you know, he continues to putt well and he continues to get the ball in the fairway at a more consistent clip, or I don't think he's going to be able to contend. Again, we keep going back to this, but it's just a reminder. One little thing can be off and you've got no real shot that week. I think we saw a lot of that this past year with Jordan Spieth, sans the two wins he had. And I think it was what we saw with Ricky. And, you know, it wasn't really in our predictions much. I touched on Jordan Spieth a little bit, but I just wanted to ask, what are your thoughts on Jordan Spieth as we head into 2017?
Well, I'm with you. I read what you wrote about Spieth and just trying to convince people that he actually had a pretty good 2016. if you look at his strokes gained putting, he was better in 2016 than he was in 2015. The only thing he did worse was he didn't hit his irons that well. I know he just switched to the new Titleist irons and played, obviously won with them in Australia. So I don't know how much of a difference that'll make, or if it's just a confidence thing. I don't know what the issue is with him there, but I think he's gonna be great again. And I say again, I thought he was pretty good last year. You know, I think that Jordan Spieth is the most similar American to Tiger that we've seen in this sort of post peak Tiger era. And what I mean by that is a combination of talent and just mental ability to grind out made cuts, to grind out top tens, to grind out wins at Colonial last year. He had no business winning that tournament. Like he's chipping in off the green on 17, and he's almost to double digit wins at the age of 23. And I just think he's going to have a really long, really good career. And I think he'll win multiple times again this year.
Well, but he doesn't hit the ball well, right? Remember, that's what everybody says. He's not a great ball striker. That's my favorite Jordan Spieth line. And again, he won twice. He won in Australia, you mentioned. I think maybe his worst event the whole year was Ryder Cup. Maybe he's the worst he played the whole year. And, of course, he was playing alongside a guy that was not human that week, so that helped a lot. I did love what you wrote about real talk of rolling the ball back. I just thought it was a good nugget to throw in there, because you mentioned it. These golf courses don't need to be 9,000 yards, and they're going to have to be at some point if we continue to see the evolution of these golfers, the golf ball, and the golf club. These balls are not going any shorter. I mean, this week, especially Kapalua, just wait till Sunday and go look at some of these stats, because, I mean, these guys are going to be averaging 330, 335. I was looking at the web.com stats from last year, and it is insane how many guys average drives over 305 yards, and that's an average. I mean, that's not hitting a great driver, not going after a few, and that's being tossed in there. I mean, it's like, this is like Russell Westbrook style golfing right now with the way these guys are playing statistically.
Well, and it's the same issue that we saw baseball have, you know, in the late 90s, early. I mean, they also had PEDs going on, but you see guys like, Brad Ausmus hitting 25 home runs a year, and you're like, what are we doing here? You know, like just really short hitters hitting the ball 300 yards off the tee. And it just, it's unfortunate for the courses that currently exist on the PGA Tour, because they just get overpowered and it becomes a little bit silly at some point. I'm not saying you have to bring it back to where the max drive is 260 yards or anything like that, but just bring it back a little bit, you know, just a little. And not only that, but just kind of just stymie, just cut it off right now so that we don't get to a point where Dustin Johnson is averaging like 380 off the tee or 390 off the tee or anything like that. I just, you know, not to go Nick Saban on you, but I don't know if that's what we want golf to be.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that was a great point. And finally, you and I both said this, and it makes me laugh, because I think it's, as people that cover golf, this is something that we hope for that is against where we're from. We both think the Internationals will win the President's Cup. Of course, dating back, there hasn't been an international flag winning this thing since 1998. There was, of course, a tie in 03. It's really become an event that, and I hate to say this because we love team golf, but not a ton of fun to watch. And it really is not just like the stepsister of the Ryder Cup, but I mean, it's like the ugly drunk uncle. I mean, it's not a ton of fun to be involved in watching the President's Cup. And I think it would help if the Internationals came in and won.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll get like Danny Lee like flying Sangmun Bay in on a helicopter or something for the event for that week. There's a lot of talent on the world side. You know, Jason Day, obviously Adam Scott, Hideki Matsuyama, we both think is making kind of a leap up this year. These team events, the thing that I love about them, the thing that I think is brilliant about them is they're not really over until like Sunday afternoon. You know, like even the blowout that happened this year at Hazeltine with the Europeans and the U.S., it wasn't really, really over until like kind of midway through Sunday afternoon. I mean, you kind of knew what was going to happen, but it leaves, there's a lot of ambiguity throughout the week. And I like that. And you saw that when they played it in South Korea, the President's Cup 2 years ago in 2015. There was like six of us that stayed up and watched it, but it wasn't really, really over until Bay duffed that chip at the end. And so I don't know. I think this is another one kind of like the Sergio thing. I'm hopeful more than I actually believe it, because the U.S. should win. They've got better players. They've got more talent. But I do think that the international side, especially at the bottom, like that 6 through 12 range, continues to get stronger.
Yeah, and what that's something I was going to bring up. That's the range to me that's held them back. I feel like that's the number. They've always had great top-tier players, but I feel like every time the President's Cup rolls around, like Lou Oosthuizen doesn't play well, and Charles Schwartzel doesn't play well, and Brandon Grace doesn't play well, I feel like you get a lot of those types of names that aren't your top two guys, maybe your leaders in the clubhouse, your Jason Days, your Adam Scotts. But I always feel like some of these guys you expect to go out there and go crazy, like turn into Patrick Reed. You know, they just don't really have that fire in their belly. I'd love to see it. It's going to be at a great venue. It's going to be very beautiful to watch. It's actually going to be on at a regular time. We're going to actually be able to pay attention to it. I just hope that we have a competitive international team this year, because as you mentioned, there's a lot of great players on this. And I think if the Internationals did win, at least the Americans would have something to bring, you know, in 2 years. It's much like what's happened in the Ryder Cup. Now that European team really is going to care. I mean, they've always cared, but they're going to bring something back, say, we're not going to lose this in 2 years. And I'd love to see that with the Americans as well.
What did you think about the idea? I saw some people suggest this, but of taking not like a JV team for the U.S., but maybe mixing in some younger guys that you wouldn't take on a Ryder Cup team, like a Daniel Berger or somebody like that. Do you think that's something the U.S. should maybe try and do in these President's Cup years, or do you think they should just take their best guys no matter what?
Well, I mean, I would like to see the best guys there. I think it'd be nice to give the best guys a break. I mean, they have to play a team event every single year. If you're Jordan Spieth, you don't ever get that off. You know, if you're Rory, you do. I mean, it was 15.5 to 14.5 last time, so it was closer, I think, than maybe we would have expected it to be. But, I mean, I think that if this thing wants to be a top-tier event, you've got to have all those guys there. That's what we're seeing, of course, with the PGA Tour right now. I mean, if the Big Four, Big Five, Big Six aren't at the event, it does feel a little JV-y to begin with. So yeah. I'd hate to see that, but I think it makes total sense, and I do think it gives some of these guys a break. I mean, I'd hate to see some of these young players who are going to play in. I mean, how many Ryder Cups is Spieth going to play in? I mean, he's going to play. Yeah. He played when he's 19. He's going to play till he's 40. It looks like. I mean, that's going to be a lot. That's going to be like Phil Mickelson like career at the Ryder Cup. And you're doing that every single year at these things. It does seem like it'd be a little bit exhausting. But I wanted to ask you a couple questions. One is, right now, your prediction for 2017 PGA Tour Player of the Year.
Well, I think we're in agreement on this, Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Rory as well. You wrote you thought Jason Day might slack off a bit. Is it just simply because of the injury and getting back to it, or is it just more you see some of the approaches he takes that might not just be successful for year after year after year?
Well, he wasn't very good off the tee last year. I don't remember his strokes gained off the tee, but it was not one of his better recent years. And the thing that saved him last year, he had the best year putting in terms of strokes gained in the strokes gained era. And I think that goes back to, I think it was invented in like 2003. He had the best one ever. And I just don't think that, I don't think that the level at which he putted is sustainable. And so I think because of that, he's not the consistent ball striker that maybe a Rory or a Dustin Johnson is. And so I think because of that, I think he'll end the year in the top 10. I just don't think he's going to stay number one.
And it's interesting you say that. He does compare himself so much to Tiger, of course, now signing with Nike, of course, more Tiger, more Tiger, more Tiger. And, you know, he's a guy, he putted lights out, very Tiger-like last year with his putting, especially earlier in the season, but has been a little scared of the driver for a lot of his career. And we saw that even in Tiger's prime, Tiger would miss a lot of drives in really, you know, pressure-packed situations. I even heard Jason Day mention it in his press conference before Kapalua that he loves these fast tracks because he can hit a lot of two irons. And I was thinking, that's almost not what you want to say. He's almost too honest, you know, to an extent. It's like Rory in press conferences. Sometimes you wish they wouldn't say that because you hope they don't truly believe it. Two more things. One is, outside of the majors, when you start the season, what event are you most looking forward to watching, not a major?
Well, I would say in Ryder Cup years, it's the Ryder Cup. But I think you have to go Players Championship. It's just the one that feels most like a major. I mean, we kind of cover it at CBS like it is a major. Not quite, but it's pretty close. And it's a familiar course. You know, you sort of get used to it like you do in Augusta. It's one of the few tournaments at the very top that it doesn't rotate like an Open or like a U.S. Open or something like that. So I think probably the Players Championship.
I always get up for Torrey just because I feel like it's really the first big event of the year. I always just get excited because you tend to have a lot of the big names head that way and play that event and play that golf course. So it always seems when that event comes around, I find myself on the couch maybe the entire time as opposed to maybe taking some breaks during the Sony, you know, or the Humana or whatever. So, you know, it's Humana. I don't even think it's called the Humana anymore. The sponsorships change so much that I think we should get a packet where we can put it on our wall and remember. Yes. Because I'm not going to remember Genesis Open, but for any, I mean, I'm probably going to write that incorrectly 3 or 4 times.
Well, we were at the Ryder Cup last year, and I said to a couple of our friends, I think Tiger's coming back for the Genesis. And they said, what the hell is the Genesis?
It's just, Genesis, get out of here. If you had to pick one major champion from 2016 to win a second major in 2017, I'm sure the answer is probably the same as what most people think, but who are you going with?
Yeah, it's got to be Dustin Johnson, although I would put Henrik Stenson up there as well. He's played so great at majors in the past 5 or 6 years, but it's got to be DJ. I would be so surprised if he didn't win another major championship. And, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to see if he ever truly contends at Augusta. He hasn't really, you know, he's sort of like Rory without the 2011 year. He hasn't played great there, and it seems like a place where he should play great. Other than, you know, it's difficult to putt there. You have to be out of your mind with your ball striking. So, I'm going to go DJ.
Yeah, I think I'd go 1A DJ, 1B Stenson, and then I'd probably have an enormous gap before I put Jimmy Walker and Danny Willett in there. Of course, no knock to them. I just, as we've talked about so many times, it's so difficult, you know, to repeat and to win multiple major championships. The talent pool is just so deep. KP, I appreciate you joining us. You've got some stuff coming out over the next few weeks we need to look forward to.
Yeah, we just, we're kind of, it's so funny with golf because you're rolling out your predictions as the golf is starting. Like, you get this like 3 week window where stuff's not happening. So we'll have some 2017 preview stuff and just starting up with covering Hawaii. So it should be fun.
Well, I'm excited. We will have you on as we get closer to the Masters, and I look forward to the round following the Masters. We are not chunking any wedges into any creeks. I can guarantee you that.
I appreciate it, Shane.
Many thanks to Kyle Porter. That was a lot of fun, a lot of predictions. If you have predictions, you want to send them our way, shoot them on Twitter, at Shane Bacon, at the Clubhouse Pod. I'll retweet some of the ones I agree with, maybe some of the ones I don't agree with. We've got a lot of Rory talk and Tiger talk, Phil talk to be had over the next few months. Should be a fun 2017 season. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter if you haven't. And we'll be back early next week with a Player of the Year from 2016 to chat about his preparation for 2017 in the PGA Tour.